It was a great weekend, though, wasn't it? I mean, it really was. And one of the things that I appreciated about the weekend is that it confirmed over and over and over again, and it's been confirmed as Terry and I have prayed, as others have prayed, about what we heard the previous year. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a review, but I think it's important after the snow and the different things and ice and to bring it back into focus, that what we had previously heard about what God's going to be doing this year, at least within this fellowship, but I think even to a wider extent. And it's, like I said, confirmed with what he taught last weekend, but it also confirmed with the conversations we had. So I'm going to do this short review, and I'm going to start out with a prophetic word that Pat gave in December when I got together with him. But first, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you're God. We thank you that you haven't abdicated and you will not abdicate, that even in the midst of all the trials and tribulations and the things we going on and see going on in this crazy world, whether it's in wherever it is, that we know that you're still on the throne. And so we ask that you just help us to put our faith in you and our faith only in you, and that as we go forward, that you would be who you are and show us favor and take us by the hand and help us to run the race that you have set before us. And Lord, just bless the words that come out of my mouth this morning, that all of them would be of you, and if there's any that's not of you, that they would fall on the ground before us. And the church said, okay, so he prophesied to us. And God's going to give you vision for years to come. And that it's going to be first like an overview, and then he's going to give you details of things he has for you, and that there's going to be an expectancy that's going to bring you into that. And the part I like is you're not going to miss it. And that preceded a week that I went away for 3 days to spend time with the Lord to seek what he wanted to say to us for 2018. And I heard very clearly from God that I want you as a church to explore the height, the depth, the length, and the width of my son, Jesus the Christ. See, that's what the Bible is about. The Old Testament points to the cross, to Jesus. The New Testament points back to the cross and to Jesus. The old is in the new explained, and the new is in the old contained. We are, as it says in James 4:8a, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he also said in Colossians 3:11, reading out of the new NLT, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, or Greek, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Now, I want to clear something up. Jesus is not milk. He's the meat of the word. And everything flows out of Jesus. And as we press into Jesus, things happen. See, as it says in Colossians 1:17, reading from the Berean Literal Bible, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And it's funny, I don't know if they do it now, but when I was in college and doing studying science and so forth, they had this thing called the Colossi effect, which was where they couldn't explain why things are held together. And so they called it the Colossi effect. Well, it's right here, Colossians 1:17. In him, all things hold together. But they're not going to acknowledge that in a secular institution, so I don't know if they use that anymore or not. So, here's the question for you. And I know you do, because I do. Why do we struggle to seek him first? Why do we struggle to seek first the kingdom of God? After all, it says in Luke 12:31, in the New Living Translation, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. And then it follows with a promise in verse 32, which is one of my favorite verses. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness. And in another, in the ESV, it says great pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, we need to understand that in Christ and his kingdom is everything we need. But we also need to understand it's not just about his salvation, which is huge. It's the greatest miracle of all times. If a person only ever experiences from God salvation and then lives however kind of life he lives, and that seems like the only thing he ever received from Jesus, that's not too shabby, folks. That means he's going to spend heaven. But see, God is much more than that. Jesus is much more than that. He's huge. See, in Jesus and in his kingdom is joy, is peace, is serving. And when you serve, I mean, our flesh will say, give me. But how many here, you don't have to raise your hands, I'm looking to raise your hands, but how many here, when you have a chance to serve somebody, to do something for somebody, doesn't it just bless you? Doesn't it bring joy? If you're in the kingdom, it really does. You know, healing, power, authority, that's all in Christ. Everything we need, everything he has for us, everything God the Father has for us, it's found in Jesus. See, so many people, when they think about Jesus, they think about salvation and they stop. It's like I said a couple weeks ago, that he's got over 200 names. We're not going to go through all of them. I told Terry the other day we're going to go through all 200, and he just looked at me and I just said, I'm joking. 1 week. Yes, Lord, it's set for 4 years. Well, Pat said he was going to give vision for years to come, didn't he? But we got to seek him. And as we seek him, things will happen in our lives. I'm going to get into some of those. As we seek him and grow in him, I believe great testimonies come forth. Again, going back to something Pat had prophesied back in December. I feel like there's a real anointing that there's going to be testimonies in your church of deliverance, of healings, physical and spiritual, of transformation of families and homes, transformations of business. And it's going to be so powerful. It's coming, folks. And I know, Chris has heard me say this. Other people have heard me say this. You know, I'm tired of getting the prophecies. Let's see it. Let's see the action. But you know, God's timing is perfect. Just like he prophesied I was going to be a pastor and it took 17 years. And let me tell you, in that 17 years, I just said, and so it ain't going to happen. And all the time, God's sitting up there with a smile, going, still got some stuff to do. And then when I was on High Street and he talked to me, High Street downtown, he talked to me, said, what I was going to do, I went, no. But he got me where he wanted me. See, that's why we're going to do these tracks. You know, I haven't forgotten about these. We went through Christmas, ice, snow, Pat. And I'm going to say, I really encourage all of us. I was talking to Lisa the other day. They're not here today. He's please keep Danny and Lisa and the family in prayer. He's going to Kentucky for 3 weeks. For training, and so she's going to be alone here by herself with the kids and so forth. So they're kind of spending the last weekend together, which they should be doing. But the tracks, and I'll send you out. I'm going to send you out to probably tomorrow the one that I just put together, or I should say God just put together, because as God often does in my life, he woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts. I went out to the kitchen, didn't know what I was going out to the kitchen for. Pulled out a pad of paper, didn't know what I was pulling out a pad of paper for. Pulled out a pen, still didn't know what I was doing. And all I knew, I was supposed to start writing. And I wrote it. And you'll see it tomorrow when I send it to you. And it's shorter than the one I sent out to you as before as an example. So just pray, ask God. And you'll see that what God's calling us to do, it's just our story. That's all it is our story. See? And my story is based on the goodness of Jesus throughout my life. As I sought him, you know my story. I don't have to say it. But I do want to remind you of the one part when I had my large intestine taken out and I was laying there in pain. It wasn't as much pain as pre-aneurysm surgery, but I was in a lot of pain. And all of a sudden, the pain disappeared. And there was like this whiteness to the room. And I knew I was in the presence of God. And immediately, he spoke to me out of Matthew 13, the two parables about the pearl of great price and the treasure in the field. And asked me the question, are you willing to give everything for my son Jesus? What do you say? No? I said, yes. Immediately the light was gone, the presence of God was gone, and I was in pain. Okay? But I knew that it's about Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean we don't look at other things, eschatology and this and that and the other thing. And I'm not saying that. We need to look at the Bible. We need to grow in the Bible and the whole Bible. But when you look at it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21:22, it's about Jesus. And whatever comes out of us must be based in and upon Jesus, because apparently even those that didn't know Jesus can do amazing things. It says in Matthew 7:22-23, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. He doesn't say that what they did was wrong. He just said he never knew. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. We need to make sure that we are based in the triune God, in Jesus, that we are following the Holy Spirit, that our Father is our Father. We need to 24/7 have that as our focus. You know, I mean, ask Ross and Taylor to show you some of the videos of the new lambs that are being born. What are they up to now? How many? Nine. You look at them and you go, there has to be a God. You know, I mean, there just has to be. They're so cute. They're just bouncing around. You know? And I found myself going, I'm glad babies just don't start bouncing around like that in the first day. But God is in the midst of everything. See, last week it also kind of confirmed what Terry had heard for this coming year, that we're going to grow into prophetic, that the prophetic is going to increase this year. I think we got a good kickoff. But we don't say, oh, that was a nice weekend, and then stop. If God leads you to go up to that big guy and say, when I look at you, I see a daffodil, then go for it. If you end up in the emergency room, call me. I'll come visit you. But you tried. See, See, the prophetic is going to help us to edify each other, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other. It's going to help us to deal with our biggest issues, some of the issues that Terry talked about last week, and let me know if I get these wrong, but being stewards with our money and possessions, walking out of our spiritual blindness, and all of us deal with that. To stop filling the God hole with people and with stuff. To become less legalistic. Realizing who we all are in Christ. I get them right? Sometimes I take my notes and I read them and I go, so I have to pull out my Bible and hieroglyphics and see what I wrote down. But I'm back to Jesus. The bottom line, that he is the answer to everything. He's the answer to every need. He's the answer to every pain. He's the answer to every frustration. He's the answer to every problem. He's the answer to every heartache. He's the answer to every sickness. He's the answer to every disease. Everything. But and yes, he's got all these tools out there. But when you're pressing into him, I really think we'll see more miracles. I really do. I believe that. But as it says in Psalm 46:1, reading out in the Amplified Version, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-provided help in trouble. And you can define trouble as anything that disturbs us. But he's there. He's always there. He's always there. But it all starts with submission to Jesus. Oh, why'd you have to use that word? See, the truth of the matter, there's only one person that can fix us. That's Jesus. My messages can't fix you. I can't be responsible for your spiritual welfare. I can come alongside of you. You can come alongside of me. We can walk together. We can edify, build up each other. But ultimately, each person has to be responsible for their life in Christ. I don't live with you. I don't know if you're having a quiet time. I don't know if you're praying without ceasing. I don't know if you're thanking God in the midst of all things. I don't know if you're a worshiper of God. I don't know if you're fasting. And I don't want to know. But I want you to do all those things because you're seeking Jesus. And in Jesus, he's the truth. He's the only one who can fix us. That's why you got to immerse ourselves in him. I'm not talking just about salvation, because there's so much, much, much more. I went to a church once, and every message for 2 years was about salvation. And I saw the same people going forward to getting saved 30, 40 times. There's more to it than salvation. So much more. Again, what Pat B. said, if not seeing the power of God, it's not because you have lack of faith. No. It's not because you're a failure on your part. No. But he's saying to us, come. Come on. Seek me. Pray. Come after me and keep seeking me. Because as we do that, he is doing things within us that are so important and so valuable. And we may not know, but what he's doing for us, someday a person may walk through that door and you will be able to connect them and keep them from committing suicide or doing something stupid because of something that God did within you. I'm just saying, I believe it. We need to keep seeking him. Remember the example I've given before about the prophet at the big meeting in Kansas City many years ago. Everybody's anticipating what he's going to say. You know, Arrowhead Stadium is full. finally goes up to the microphone, and there's this hush. The man of God, prophet, is going to speak. And he goes, thus says the Lord, seek me. Seek me. And he sits down. The greatest word I've ever heard. Because in him is everything. The height, the depth, the length, and the width of Jesus is so important. See, no one has him figured out. Yeah, you know the story I did when I was 2 years old in the Lord. I'm 95% figured out. That's 0.0%. Remember that old TV program? And raise your hands because I want to find out how old you are. Fathers knows best. You know what the scripture says about liars and lakes of fire?
I really have.
You really have it. Yeah, but I know he has. Father knows best, and I can't remember who was in it, but it was Robert Young, and Bud was the boy, and there was a girl. Anyway. Well, Jesus knows best. There's no one that knows better than Jesus. There's no one that knows what we need or knows what is best for us more than Jesus. And that includes us. He knows what's better for me than I do. And sometimes it might be just a little unpleasant because he wants to get us to the place where we are freer and happier. That's why we need to submit to him as Lord and Master. See, that's how we're going to start on this thing about Jesus. And no, we're not going to go through 200, so don't worry about it. But Lord and Master are very important. Very important. And it's interesting because the word Lord and Master in the New Testament, for the most part, comes from the same Greek word, kurios. And if you don't want to hear about Lord and Master, close your ears so you don't hear what that word means. It means owner. It means possessor. It means chief. It means leader. It means authority. It means ruler, one who commands. See, if he's our Lord and Master, then he's our owner. And he's our possessor. He's our chief. He's our leader. He's our ruler. He's authority over us. He's the one who commands. He's the HHICOE. Head honcho in charge of everything. That's who Jesus is. And he doesn't give us an option. That's who he is. That's just one of his names. That's just one of his titles. So how does that make you feel? You're not the boss of me. Yeah, and that's true, even if you say feel that way. And we've all walked down that road, call it rebellion, call it whatever you want, spirit of Jezebel, I don't really care. But the other is, and the truth is, do we feel peace? Do we feel relief? Do we feel joy? Do we feel freedom when you think of him in terms of Lord and Master? Basically, you, me, us, we're called to submit our lives to Jesus. Our whole life, everything we do, everything we do. It's like I used to tell some of my people who worked for me. Well, I didn't get that job. Well, if God wanted you to get that job, you would have got that job. They just look at me. We're to submit our entire lives. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody in this room ever tried to do it their way? How's it work for you? Even if it works fairly well, fairly good, I guarantee if you would have done it his way, it would have been better. Truth is, Jesus is our only Lord and Master. Jude 4, one of those well-known books of the Bible. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. There's a message right there, but we're not going to go down that rabbit trail. Jesus is our Lord and Master. And it's interesting, I think it's important, because the New Testament uses the phrase Lord Jesus over 100 times. You think he's trying to get the point across? Might just be important. See, when we become a follower of Jesus, it did not mean that we remained our own person, and that we just called Jesus whenever we needed him. It means we submit to Jesus all the time. If we are in Christ, saved, born again, whatever phrase you want to use, then he is our Lord and Master. But the truth is, whatever controls us is our Lord. Rebecca Pippert, who wrote a book, Out of the Salt Shaker, says this: whatever controls us is our Lord. Little L. Oh, it's up there, isn't it? Yeah. The person who seeks power is controlled by power. The person who seeks acceptance is controlled by acceptance. And I can tell you that that's true, because I spent too many years doing that and still have to struggle from time to time. We do not control ourselves. We are controlled by the Lord of our lives, whatever that is, whoever or whatever that might be. That's why everything we have, we need to hold loosely before the Lord. And sometimes it can be painful to hold it loosely, but we need to. So maybe, just maybe, if we're trying to control our lives or something other than God, that we might be walking in opposition to Jesus' control. In other words, we might be walking in sin. See, we can either have a good foundation or a bad. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke 6, verse 46, that's what I'm going to read from. It's not up there. Reading from the ESV. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. In other words, your life. If Jesus is your Lord, there will be storms, but it will not be shaken. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I think you get the point. But here's the cool part. When Jesus is our Lord and Master, we are not enslaved. We are free. 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 Freedom comes as we submit to Christ. Freedom from all the bondages of the unholy three. The world, the flesh, and Satan and his cohorts. So it really boils down to this. We're to please Christ. We're to obey him. We're to submit to him in all that we do. There's nothing wrong with even getting yourself developed to the point, Lord, should I use a black or blue pen on this document? Now, you may think that's ridiculous, and maybe it is to a degree, but I'm trying to make a point. It's good to seek him in all everything. Now, obviously, you know. And you know the stories about my wife and parking spots. She just asked for a parking spot, and he creates one. I have pictured in my mind that when she's asked for a parking spot, that when we parked and people came out from wherever they were and they saw our car there instead of their car, because God just dissolved their car. Now, obviously, he didn't do that. But it just shows you how my brain works, and so you can pray for me. We're to obey. We are always, 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 always to seek him and his kingdom first, to let that dominate every aspect of our lives, making him our Lord and master. See, in that really does come freedom. It comes joy, it comes peace, it comes patience. It becomes all the fruits of the Spirit you find in Galatians 5 and wherever else in the Bible. Now I want to give you an illustration, a practical illustration that I know all of us have been involved in. That's what I am talking about. Someone says something about you that makes you look like a fool. Now, I know that's never happened to anybody in this place, right? What's your first reaction? Don't shout it out. But I'll suggest it might be anger. Maybe a little bitterness. Disappointment. Frustration, whatever. Well, at that point in time, we have a choice. Our response can go one of two ways. And it really depends on who is our Lord in that moment. We can offer ourselves up to where sin is our Lord, or God is our Lord in the midst of that situation. See, we can attempt to defend ourselves, or even, I think I'll get revenge with that person, or I think I'll do this and I'll make that person look foolish. Or we could say within our heart, okay, God, this person has pointed out something that he or she perceives as negative, and the way they did it was in a negative way, but they really believe that there's a flaw in my life. See, this is where you listen to Pat Bryson from last week and me now. That prophecy is edifying, encouraging, strengthening, building up, life-giving. But when somebody says something, what's wrong with going, okay, they said this, so then take it to the Lord in prayer. Because there might be a sliver of truth there. There might be something, you know, what's it say in Romans 8:28, that God uses all things together for good? Oh, but he would never use a negative comment from somebody. But take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to tell you the truth, even if it's only a sliver of truth of what the person said. See, the question is, why should I defend myself? God is my judge, and I have been declared innocent. And I have been declared totally accepted in Christ because of what he did on the cross and the fact that I acknowledge that and accept in him as my Savior. What's it say in Proverbs 15:1? I love this proverb. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if you feel like getting into a fight with that person, just say a harsh word and it's on. Katie barred his door. But if you want to leave them speechless. And I know it works, folks, because in those few times when I remembered to be a soft answer, it does turn away wrath. One answer leads to building the kingdom and glorifying God, the soft answer. The other leads in the opposite direction. If you want to look in your Bibles for Romans 6:19. One answer shows us we are Lord of our life. We. The answer, others says that Jesus is Lord of our life. The answer is always to present ourselves as slaves to righteousness. Romans 6:19, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves, one who is in servitude to another, or servants, to righteousness, leading to sanctification. As we do, we get rid of bad fruit and we gain good fruit. And you see that as you go on in Romans 6:20 to 23, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. Before we were in Christ, sin dominated our life, was in charge of our life, and we were free to sin. But that's not who we are if we're in Christ. Well, but it had a bad result. You're now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom, bad fruit. But now you're free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those that lead to holiness, result in eternal life, good fruit. For the wages of sin is death, bad fruit. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, good fruit. Do I have a future as an actor? Probably not. We always have a choice. There's that free will stuff again. Why did he do that to us? Sometimes he just wants us to see what's in our heart. It's not who we are, though, is it? It's the flesh. And who we are is that new creature in Christ. See, we can either choose to submit to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or we can submit to whoever or whatever is our Lord and Master, whether it be others or ourselves or our pocketbooks or our cars or motorcycles, whatever it is. The big issues that Terry talked about, being stewards or spiritual blindness or filling the God hole with people and stuff, becoming less legalistic or really not wanting to become all we are in Christ that he wants us to be. We are to submit to Jesus. And as we do, I promise you, good fruit will come. Deliverance, healing, authority, power, freedom. Submitting to anything or anyone else leads to bad fruit. The answer is to always hold Jesus in our lives as Lord and Master. When we started worshiping God, I asked him, I said, Lord, is this what you want me to share today? Because I only want to share what God wants me to share. And you know, I ministers to me in pictures, but all of a sudden I just saw this chariot of fire. And it was being pulled by white horses. And the driver was Jesus. And then I looked below the chariot and I saw people below the chariot. And I saw them bent over. I saw them full of sadness. Saw him broken and struggling with various pains, situations. And I was gazing upon them, I noticed that flames started to fall out of the chariot. And the flames would fall on these people, and it fell on the people, and kind of talks about the God, one of the songs we sang about fire this morning. The flames would fall on the people and they'd begin to stand upright. And they'd begin to rejoice in God. They begin to praise the Lord. And I began to see like scales fall off of them that were like pain just falling off of them. And then I heard the words, it's about my son Jesus. First song we sang him today was Crown Him. And in there is the words, Crown Him, Lord of all. Chris and I really don't talk about the song she's going to sing that the Lord gave her, just like Terry and I don't talk about what I'm going to preach on. I may say a word or something, she may say a word or something, but we really don't discuss it. Because I want the Holy Spirit to put the service together. Because if Holy Spirit puts the service together, it's going to speak to people's hearts. If we put it together, it might look shiny and polished, but not going to be the same. So If the worship team wants to come forward, back up here, please. I want us, call this an altar call or whatever you want to call it. Front's open, of course, or there, but there is value in coming forward. Did anybody lose a cranberry? But if that word's for you, and you're bent over, you know, it really goes along with what Michelle said earlier about the cyclone. God wants to touch some people today. I don't know how it is. Well, I'll take that back. God wants to touch us all. But maybe there's some here that just need a special touch from God. The front's open, there, wherever. But as we worship God, respond to Him. Respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you come forward, there'll be people that will join you in prayer. They might even have a word for you. But the whole purpose will be to edify, to build up, to encourage, to strengthen. Because that's what God's doing with His body. That's what He's doing with His church. Because He wants His church to be a force on the world, that it's all about Jesus. It's not about man. It's not about what we're doing. It's not about woman. It's not about child. It's about the living God and what He has to offer, which is so much more than we can offer. So let's just worship God. And again, just be responsive. Be responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if somebody has physical ailment, let us know, and we will anoint you with oil.